The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
Greetings, everyone. I'm delighted to be here with you this week. And I should say that I'm not able to see the chat today in the YouTube, but I do very much value your feedback. And I will download it and read it as soon as the teachings are finished. So thank you for that. And I would also like to announce that we'll have a Q&A session at the end of the week on Friday following the talk. So in Gil's meditations and talks this last week, he's put a lot of emphasis on quieting our discursive thinking as a way of connecting with a deeper wellspring within us. You may have noticed that this is easier said than done. And my aspiration for this week is to give you some tools for calming and letting go of the self-preoccupation that is the motor of our discursive thinking. Me, myself, and mine. And the theme for this week is training in emptiness. So normally training in emptiness is for very advanced stages of practice and deep concentration. But what I'm going to try to do is to find some ways of giving you aspects of emptiness that you can use in your everyday life and in your meditation, whether you're a beginner, a middling practitioner, or an advanced practitioner. So it's in our DNA to want to protect ourselves, to want to exist, to survive. And so our natural habitual tendency is to be very reactive. Something comes up and we react. And often with some clinging to either wanting more of it or wanting less of it, or not even knowing what's going on and being confused. And it's our clinging that is the source of all of our mental constructions. The word in Pali is sankhara, which literally means constructing together. So what we do without any training is to fabricate a sort of amalgam of our inner experience and outer experience. We're constructing the way we think things are. And this constructing has its most, dangerous aspect in that the construction of all constructions is clinging, hanging on, wanting to be. And when we really understand that everything is constantly changing, we see things, all things, including ourselves, as inconstant. We understand that the mind habitually fabricates this continuous process of constructing and reconstructing our experience in the form of these mental constructs, thoughts. A week ago, Gil gave a lovely talk on the Jhana Sutta, in which an elder monk named Jhana, who had been very, very caught for a long, long time by conceit. He had been the Buddha's charioteer and felt that he knew he had a special connection to the Buddha. They probably grew up together. And somehow in his mind, this was good enough. And so he plateaued for decades until finally he was able to realize with rather stern encouragement from the Buddha that he was not on the right track and he was not able to see the Dhamma, the Dharma. And so there was in him a sincere desire for liberation, and he thought he would go to visit Venerable Ananda because Ananda was someone that he could really trust. And so he did that, and Ananda was delighted to see that at last he was asking questions. He wasn't the know-it-all that he had always been. And so when Jhana asked Ananda to please give him a talk so that he could see the reality of the Dhamma, Ananda was happy to do so. And he began by reassuring Jhana that he was able to see the Dhamma. He had what it takes. And with that, Jhana was joyful and delighted and hopeful. And that was the fact that Ananda believed in him was the real turning point in Jhana being able to open his heart to the teachings. So believing in someone is a great gift that you can give them, and it can be transformative. So I'll read to you a summary of what Ananda taught Jhana to help him understand and really penetrate, really see the Dhamma. And he's reciting a discourse that the Buddha had given to another monk named Kachana. Mostly, this world is attached, clinging, fixated, and in bondage. But if one does not attach or cling to mental constructions such as "this is myself," then one will clearly see dukkha, suffering, when it arises. And when dukkha ceases, that person will clearly see it ceasing. And with this, one's knowledge is independent of others. This is right view. So, the key to understanding everything about the Dhamma is seeing through the mental construction of "this is myself." Of course, you know, we know from the teachings of inconstancy, anicca, that everything is constantly changing. And we know also in modern physics that what we think of as solid, you know, like the table here, okay, it's solid wood, but it is 99.999999% empty. There's a nucleus in the atoms and electrons whirling around the nucleus, and mostly it's just space. So in the same way, our minds are basically empty in our original nature. So perhaps the most important insight that we can have to benefit our practice is that everything is empty of a self. We're empty of a self. Everyone in our family, our friends, our community, all of us are habitually putting the self forward all the time, selfing and being attached to oneself. And yet, this idea of a self is just a mental construction, a sankhara. So, so Buddhist practice can be seen as emptying ourselves of all the projections and constructs and attachments that we overlay onto our experience. We do this all the time. This is what the untrained person does. And as I said before, it's in our DNA to be reactive. So it's can be a very liberating idea to embrace the idea of the emptiness of the self. So I'll read to you now A.R. Norman's translation from the Dhammapada 93. Those who have extinguished becoming, who do not depend on the future, whose range is empty, signless, and secluded, their path is hard to track, like that of birds in the sky. So when we go camping, most of us try to practice leave no track. And we can try the same thing when we aspire to emptying ourselves of clinging, of attachment, of greed, hate, and delusion, and of selfing. When we see thinking arising during meditation, we can imagine stepping out of a cage of our belief in me, myself, and mine, and then being able to leave no tracks. We can do the same thing when we're talking with friends. Stepping out of the cage of me, myself, and mine, we become a much better listener. And we're in a great position to be of benefit, to serve our friends in their development and aspiration for happiness. The same thing is true at work. if we remember that being caught up in our own ideas of how things should be, we can be a much better team player and work in collaboration instead of in competition. So knowing that living beings don't have substance and permanent selves doesn't mean that we don't exist. And we can imagine the mind as water, clear, pure water. And all of our references to self as the sediments that make the water that we're swimming in muddy. So we can train the mind by emptying it of the constraints of our mental constructs wrapped around the idea of self and our reactivity, and gently slide into the wholesome, clear water of a mind that's temporarily empty of suffering and flaunting, and enjoy the flow of the water. Thank you very much for your attention. I wish you well in the sky of emptiness.